Brixby stares up at a jagged strip of the Numerian night sky, framed by the uneven and sharpened edges of the scar of the spider, his eyes heavy with sleep as the end of his watch approaches. They strain against the dying glow of the persistent coals of his fire, the flame sputtering against the bitter cold that blows through the cavern. Brixby tightens his cloak against the chill.
It's early, Lamashan, so that must mean.
And he returns his eyes to the sky.
Ah, there she is, the mother.
And extends a finger, tracing the outline of a pot-belly cast-iron cauldron above a flame in the flickering stars above. The mother is one of the 13 components of the cosmic caravan and is the spiritual heart of the group. And his thoughts turn to Asher, the spiritual heart of his group, of his caravan. He returns his eyes to the sky.
Maybe it's easier for you to hear me right now. I don't know how it works amongst the spheres, but it's been a week here since you've gone. I miss you. We all do. Kira the most. Perhaps I worry about her, but you should not. I want more than anything to make you proud. I lived my life in darkness for so long. Literally, spiritually, emotionally. Your love, your understanding, seared away that veil. Showed me the light of truth, forgiveness. I wish you were here. I think you would like it. In a weird way, it's serene. And there's even people trying to grow something out of this.
Picks up a paw of acidic, crumbling dust that gusts away in another icy breeze.
The growing things in this. Yeah, you should have seen it. I hope that we get to see each other again someday. And until then, the light that you've given me is more than enough to keep warm. And I know that you'll meet me in my dreams.
This is Pod Against the Machine.
Pod Against the Machine.
Welcome back to Pod Against the Machine, the only Pathfinder actual play that just woke up from 9,000 years of cryogenic sleep and is ready to share some barbecue squirrel. I'm your host, and here's everybody.
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
That sounds like a GooTube flavor.
It is a GooTube flavor.
The sauce is the boss.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
9,000 years of cryogenic sleep is, in fact, a GooTube flavor.
Indeed, and with our collaboration with Sweet Baby Ray's, where the sauce is the boss, barbecued rabbit. Rat.
Squirrel.
Were we sure that it was a squirrel?
You said small game.
No, I mean, there's swamp nearby. It could be nutria.
Swamp rabbit.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, all our people in Louisiana are like, yeah, nutria.
We have a couple in Oregon. You can see the little rat men, don't we?
I don't know if we have nutria in Florida or not. I feel like we probably do because we have swamp, but we have lots of little swamp mammals. But I don't know if nutria are one of them.
Yeah, they're an invasive species here. They're like sometimes around the Willamette. But they're so cute. It's absolutely like would be a familiar in real life for me. Semi-aquatic rodent, you.
Well, previously on the program, the party brought the Halic into the valley proper and brought it over to Pater's farm, where they parked it, which he wasn't a huge fan of, until they explained that they were going to make it look like a compost pile, and that it had heated seats that he could enjoy whenever he wanted while they weren't around. So they used the spike to make it blend in with the surroundings as just another compost pile, and then made their way back to the machine cave, where they discovered that the bomb that Tarazi had set, made out of one of the murder balls, had been triggered. So there was a murder explosion. The other murder balls were nowhere to be found. But they got a little bit sidetracked after that when they realized that in that main room right at the beginning of the machine cave, there was actually a second smaller passage that they could go through if they just squeezed their way through some rocks, which wasn't the easiest for basically anyone in the party except for the giant snake with no bones and the little rat friend. So they made their way through a narrow twisting tunnel until they got to a room where there was just a gun laying on the ground, which, you know, I mean, who among us hasn't walked into a room where there was just a gun laying on the ground?
I'm from Texas.
Smelling something a bit suspicious, I can't remember the name of the invisible friend that was sent in.
Cleary. And they're an intern, not a friend. We keep our work relationships very professional.
I apologize for the oversight.
Thank you.
Cleary was sent in to check out the scene, immediately triggering a trap and exploding a series of grenades while the party was at a safe distance. But the room now covered in cleared muck, the party went in, discovered that the gun was in fact a fake, and the passage continued. So they went on and eventually found Asuma, the Kasatha, who apparently remembers being on the Divinity some 9,000 years ago, who has fairly recently woken up in this strange land, escaped from control of a force called the Dominion of the Black, who is holding her former companions as semi-living puppets, and she wants help to get revenge slash put her companions to rest, and she's willing to help the party do whatever they are keeping secret from her, because they did not tell her their motivations, in order to do it. And within an agreement struck, everyone is traveling together, and I believe we sort of made the decision to check in on the old robot that lives in the other half of the cave, which Asuma let everyone know is named Binox and is weird, potentially friendly, but weird. I believe you decided that you might come back to that later when it's had some time to cool off after you murdered all of its minions. Mm-hmm. And you've gone off to search some caves. And nothing weird happened to Kira at the end of the episode. And that's where we are now.
We have it on tape. Nothing weird happened to Kira.
Yeah, I guess it's canon now.
Right, whoever's editing last week's episode, make sure to cut out that ending now that we...
we know definitively nothing weird has happened.
Yeah.
Like the hit play, nothing weird happened on the way to the cave.
Exactly like that.
I'd like to examine this large compass rose on the ground next to us.
It's weird. Somebody just like made like a huge carving into the ground of like a giant N and then a smaller W, an E, and an S. It's very elaborate. That's not really there.
That reminds me of the giant QR code art piece in the mannequin room. I'm guessing that was Binox then who made art.
Yeah.
It does seem to have been created by the machine.
How many fingers were in the mosaic if it was created by Binox?
A theoretically infinite number of fingers. It's hard to tell what's a finger and what's ancient Androphon code.
So, do we want to go to the Migos or the Dominion? Also, I just realized we match.
And Brixby shows his boots that are made of cat to the Kasatha who is wearing Norm Vorax. I love my cat, by the way. Don't be mad at us cat people.
Those are some sweet kicks.
Thank you.
I think that maybe we can look at these Migo first. I just know that from what I've always heard about the Dominion and what our new friend says, I think if we're to spy on either of them, these Migo might be less willing to attack us if they discover us than the Dominion will.
You did see the one in the woods, and I likely perceived you and did not attack us.
And Brixia said that, like, nod to co-workers passing in a hallway.
Yeah, with a little, like, not smile, like the upside down kind of smile that is also a smile.
Where you just make your lips disappear into your face.
Exactly. It looks a little pained. Yeah, it's like you want to hide that you have lips to your coworker.
Well, they can't know.
They can't know.
That's dangerous.
And yes, as we also had discussed, you know, probably traversing this area, we're going to find, hopefully, more resources in our battle against the aforementioned. So, did you have a specific way that you would recommend that we headed out, Isuma?
Isuma says, well, that depends very much on what you're trying to do. There's an embarrassment of caves here, really. So you can go any direction and find them. But as I've said, most of the population of this valley lies to the west.
Well, then maybe we should go west?
I think that sounds like it makes sense.
All right. And are you, like, doubling back to the river? Like, when Isuma basically told you to get to the Dominion, you follow the river. But that sort of takes you away from the edge of the valley where the caves are all sort of built into the wall. So are you more hugging the wall, or are you going down to the river and following that?
We're sticking closer to caves?
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Let's head old cave way.
So as you follow the wall of the valley sort of along, so the wall is basically to your north for a while, and there's caves like every few hundred feet, and oftentimes they're just like little shallow things where you can take one step in and you can see the extent of it. Sometimes they go a little bit deeper and like you have to go in and look around and maybe struggle your way through a spider's nest or a giant spider's nest. But this isn't the kind of thing that's a threat to 11th level adventurers. It's the kind of thing that would have been trouble early in book one. We can gloss over that to a large extent, but it is pretty time consuming as you're working your way through, because there's just so many of them. And your main goal coming in here is that in some cave in this place, Cassandra Lee has hidden the neurocam. So it could theoretically be in any of these.
Yeah. And it's probably more likely than not to be in one that looks abandoned. Like, she wasn't going to hide it near where there's obviously stuff that looks like it's going to find it.
The one with the big glowing sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the one with the gift shop out front, probably she would avoid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe she hid it in the gift shop, you know, just sort of tucked in the back of a shelf somewhere.
Behind the old Cheez-Its.
Eventually, as you're going cave to cave, and since this is taking a while, probably getting to know Isuma a little better, just making some small talk, you come to a fairly wide cave mouth. And this one, you can see even from outside, a swath of bright red is coating like the floor and goes up the walls on this cave entrance. At first, it looks like an immense stain of blood, but as you're looking at it, it appears to more be like a thin sheet of like mold or like a lumpy lichen. And you can see even from the outside that spider webs as thick as human fingers are sort of filling up the inside of this cave.
Oh, that's not fun.
Gotta set those on fire.
The lichen doesn't look, though I guess Alan wouldn't know this, but would our two party members that were in the cave under Torch, the lichen doesn't look like any of the weird mosses we ran into under there that did stuff. There was like that blood mold one that was bat or russet mold or whatever.
Russet mold.
It doesn't look like any of that.
That was yellow. Yeah.
Oh, was that yellow?
Okay. Yeah. Or brown. It was brown.
Brown.
It was
like russet.
Oh, it was brown. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Which is
like
the color russet, Zach. You're right.
Yes, yeah. That
is. I was thinking like dried blood is like brown, but he said like red, like actual like wet blood red. Yeah, so this would be something different.
But can we roll anything on this ambient redness?
We'll probably have to get closer.
Yeah. Yeah, or the web.
Probably got to lick it.
Probably. I mean, you can get a little bit closer. You can roll a knowledge nature on this thing.
Taranzi will... He'll get to where it looks like the red's kind of bleeding out into the dirt about 15-ish feet from where it starts to get redder and webbier. Take a...
It basically, the mold starts growing basically where the sunlight stops.
So it's a mold. Got him. Taranzi might have figured that out anyway with a natural 19 for a 24 knowledge nature.
With
as good as it gets.
With a 24 knowledge nature, Taranzi can tell that this development of this mold is not really natural in nature. It has mutated probably from some outside influence, like possibly radioactivity has caused it to take on new and potentially dangerous properties to anyone who would be vulnerable to poisons, that sort of thing.
He would note that and then look back at the party and say, just like the vegetables are friend Peter grows. The ground here has made something new, I suppose. This mold is not truly natural. It's been harmed or changed by the radioactivity.
If we eat it, does it make us faster?
I wouldn't expect that, no. It's more like extra poisonous.
Oh. So let's not eat it, but can we step on it?
I don't think any of us are barefoot, except maybe Alowyn.
Yeah, I think that was established before, that if he doesn't have magic shoes, which he does not, he's probably barefoot.
Kind of strike me as a socks and sandals sort of guy, too. Like
socks and Crocs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, ooh, with like a lot of fun crocs. Charms.
How cute.
Your little tchotchkes on them. What about all of that webbing? Do you know what any of that is?
Definitely doesn't want to get closer to the webbing than he has to. But could he roll a separate knowledge on that from here? Or would he have to get a little closer?
I think from here you can probably see enough into the cave, and you can actually see amongst the webs these corpses of huge spiders, including an enormous one that's like the size of a rhinoceros. That it looks like maybe this poisonous mold got to them and they're just kind of shriveled up on the ground. The webs itself, they're like as thick as pencils, the strands of them. So you can roll a knowledge nature to determine the nature of the spiders that you're looking at.
It's 10 lower than my first roll. It's only a 14.
Nice.
Well, 14 doesn't identify.
Bixby comes through with an unnecessary nat 20 for a 34.
With a 34, I think Bixby can recognize... the biggest of the dead spiders, at least, is an ogre spider, which are just monstrous things normally. Not super threatening to adventurers like you, but to normal people, they'd be terrifying. They're, you know, brutal, huge hunters that can encase entire trees in their webs. But they have arrangements of eyes and mandibles that give their faces an unnerving similarity to ogres. So... you know, it actually looks like a giant ogre with eight legs coming at you, which is a really pleasant, you know, thought to imagine.
See, I'd say it looks like it's all ogre for them.
So is this one of those things like those crabs in Japan that look like no masks, or is it actually like ogre spiders, like it's an actual ogre head, or is it just like the design of the creature?
It's still an arachnoid head.
Yeah.
Looks like.
Yeah, so it's like the weird crabs. Yeah.
They're just normal, you know, huge spider creatures.
Do we think those spiders are dead because of the mold?
Yeah. It sounds like it, and possibly the blight that comes from the stars that is in the earth.
That does appear to be radioactive in nature. I think that unless you have any sort of protections, it may be rather dangerous to go inside there.
We have several hours of the delay poison spell, which has seemed to help us in the past with this radiation. Do you think, from your experience, that that should still be the case?
I would assume that radiation being a poison effect, that would protect you pretty well, but any chance you've got another casting of that, or should I kind of hang on the outside where there's no radiation while you check things out?
Sorry, I only have communal and I really don't want to waste another use of this rod.
It's nice out here. You can look at the trees, be careful that they don't kill you, etc.
Do we have a radiation suit? I feel like we've run into something like that before.
We
might have sold
run
it
into
we
a
did.
Radiation detector, and that I think is maybe what you're thinking of. We have like a Geiger counter, essentially.
Didn't we have? Wasn't there like that thing that was in like a Pokeball in it?
Yeah, that's a panic suit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Works for one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just for her, because the rest of us still have like 3 hours left of this casting.
It might be advantageous to have Suma out here, keeping an eye on the comings and goings, the Migos and the Dominion.
Sounds good to me. I'll wait out here.
Okay, be careful.
You too.
Well, let's get moldy.
Why am I leaning?
I don't know, like, even though they have the poison, the delayed poison communal, he, like, pulls up one of the kerchiefs that they still have from book one, covers his face. A little throwback.
Yeah, I think.
Probably smells terrible.
Alan's probably going to turn on his mask since we did just recharge all our batteries not too long ago.
Rigsby's going to pull down his mask and pull off his kerchief.
Well, he's smart, so he didn't want to waste the battery in his mask.
As you start walking in here, like every step into this mold, which the sheet of mold is like at least an inch thick, but other places it's lumpier and sticks out like twice as high. But basically every time your foot comes down, a cloud of it flies up into the air. So the air is becoming like filled with red powder, basically. And were your Geiger counter to be on right now, like, it would probably be beeping away.
Also put on the filter mask.
Is it obscuring our vision?
Not mechanically.
I'm going to turn on the filter mask. It's just icky. You know, I know that, like, a life, you could drink out of a puddle on the street with a life straw, but do you want to? It's kind of how I feel. Like, I mean, I think you can. I don't know.
Yeah, it's you're pressing into this cave and, like, the darkness and the haze of red in the air, and then like the ropey spider webs that hang everywhere. But again, they like you can work around them. The webs are kind of in disrepair and like they're falling down, so they're not like taking up as much of the space where you can't walk between them and you might get stuck or anything. It's just like a creepy addition to the environment. But as you're coming in, you can sort of hear, before you can see anything, the sort of slightly liquidy, slightly chittery kind of, and the pitter-patter of small but somehow still enormous feet as lurking in this cave. As you guys press in, there are kind of hidden in the back three remaining ogre spiders that still appear to be alive, and they are caked with this red mold all over all of them to the point where they look just ill and almost mutated and just gross.
Yikes.
I do think that it might be time to roll for initiative.
It's like that one Cheeto at the bottom of the bag that has way too much Cheeto dust on it.
You mean the best Cheeto?
Can we just delay for like four rounds so they die on their own?
All right. What did Tarazi get?
Oh, Sam, these rolls keep going down. That was an 8 off the dice for an 11.
11 for the pale Tarazi and his...
He's had a good run.
All right, how about the quarrelsome Kira?
It's a 7 for a 13.
All right, that's a little faster. The vain Alwyn?
A 10 for a 17.
And, of course, the unbiased Brixby.
A 19 for a 27. Boundary loves me.
Wow. So, Brixby is up first. You're standing at the mouth of the cave. You can see three enormous spiders on the inside. They don't look wonderful, but they're probably fine.
So, from the roll, the, like, crazy 34 that I got on nature, do I have any questions about these fellers?
Yeah, you could ask two questions.
I would like to know their attacks and their defenses, please.
Well, as far as special attacks go, the main thing that you don't have to worry about is they have poison with their bite. Any poison that they try to bite you with would be, of course, delayed, so it doesn't matter that much. They also have a ranged web attack, where they can shoot you with a web and bind you up and really impede your movements. Basically a ranged grapple. And then what was the other question?
Special defenses.
They have damage reduction. They are immune to radiation and mind-affecting effects.
Shares Alwyn. The mind-affecting won't work. They can probably shoot us with webs.
He gives a peace sign and fades out of existence.
And Brixby is going to cast... Throw a little ball of bat guano to about right there, right in the middle of the room. Explode a fireball.
All right. Is that going to hit two of them or all three?
I don't even see the third one.
Oh. It looks like you can actually get all three of them right there. Cool. It's not a huge room. So, starting with the Machiavellian Ogre Spider, that is a delightful 10 on the reflex save.
A failure.
I assume that's not going to do it. The Daring Ogre Spider dares to get an 18 on the reflex save.
Still fails.
And a natural 20 for the good-humored Ogre Spider, who just thinks this is all a joke.
It's true. His mirth served him well. So it's one passed, two failed. This is the amount. Wow, there's some ones in there. Anyway, so that is 32 points of damage to two of them, and then 16 to the good-natured, good-humored fellow.
All right. And it looks like that all goes through. In addition, the clouds of red mold in the area, basically the entire... circle of the fireball is just burnt away in an instant. So that whole basically center of the room is clear of radioactive mold now. That's a bonus.
What about the webs?
I mean, the webs aren't really mechanically troublesome webs. They're just kind of hanging out.
All right. And while I am mechanically troublesome, that is the end of my turn.
All right. The considerate Asuma, being so considerate, is going to just step in behind all of you, kind of noticing things are wrong. And then she's just going to take a shot at the Machiavellian Ogre Spider in her second range increment with that zero rifle. Because why not, right? Let's see. That is not going to be against touch because it's the second range increment, but it's still a pretty good shot, and the spider is flat-footed. That will hit. So you see, sneaking between basically everyone's shoulders, a bolt of ice gets fired through at this spider, and it takes not bad damage, 13 cold damage on the Machiavellian spider, which takes us to the Machiavellian spider's turn. And it's upset about everyone getting in its face, about getting shot with a fireball. It is a spider, so it has limited capacity to reason, but it does know that the reason that it is in pain is all these little things in the doorway. It's going to rush up, and it's going to basically get in kind of Tarazi's face, but it's got long reach because it's a big old spider, and it's just going to try to bite. That is only a 20 versus flat-footed.
Nope.
It's pretty mean. All right, the Vain Alowin.
The Vain Alowin is going to turn this episode into a history joke, and he is going to cast Bone Shatter and try to break the legs of this Machiavellian spider.
But they don't have bones. They have exoskeletons.
So he's
going
to need to roll me. Which it mentions in the text of the spell, a creature with an exoskeleton or a skeleton.
You win this time. Anatomy of the Bone Shaker spell.
Anatomy of the Bone Shatter spell.
No, I choose not to acknowledge Bone Shatter. That is a fortitude save?
Yes.
25.
You saved. It's a 21. 10d6. I'm going to roll that here because that's a lot of d6. And you will take half of this. So you are going to take 19 points of... I can't 14. Do math. It's not 19. What the heck is half? 28. 14 points of damage. Thank you, Zach, for having a brain that I don't. And you are also going to be fatigued for 10 rounds.
All right, I've given the little snoozy fight face there. Moving anywhere, or are you hanging out in the doorway?
I will hang out in the doorway while I try to figure out how to delete all these squares I drew.
All right, Quarrelsome Kira, someone has created a bunch of modern art in front of you as all these weird squares float in the air, making the map look very confusing.
There's
also
a
giant spider.
Also the giant spider. Kira was going to do some strategic stuff and wiggle her way in there, but doesn't have to because the spider came to her, which is so kind. So instead, she's going to take a few steps up to greet the spider in its home and in the poison dust, and
it is going to try to bite you on your way in there.
That is fine. I'm going to rage.
Well, it's mad at you for doing that, and it that is a 24 to bite.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
With the blur.
Dang it, blur.
34 on the blur.
Aw, so close.
Shouldn't have deleted all that modern art just yet.
let's see. That is 26 chomp damage.
Jeez.
They're big old chompy boys. It's a good roll.
All right, well, he's done been chomped. Still going to try and go for the... Which spider is this? The good-humored one?
Yeah, no, it's wearing the little Venetian cap. It's the Machiavelli one.
Ah, there it is.
Right?
Yeah.
With a chainsaw. Let's see how this goes. That is going to be a 32 to hit.
Yeah, 32 will hit.
Ooh, 2 sixes and a 1. That's 13 plus 22, 35 points of damage.
That's so many. It doesn't all seem to go through, though, which is good for me.
Ah, it's a real bummer.
Still a lot. All right, Pale Tarazi.
Yeah, Pale Tarazi is going to have Levi start their turn off, because with a 5-foot step in his reach, he can do a full attack without, you know, whereas Tarazi can't. And maybe we can grab him. We'll find out. So that is going to be 25.
Yeah, 25 will hit Big Spidey.
And what about the second one? Wasn't nearly as good. 17?
No, 17's not going to do it.
All right.
Unless it's grappled between the two, then it might.
No, I didn't declare that. So I do max, though, 19 on the bite.
Well, it doesn't all go through, but it's still looking quite hurt.
I mean, I'm pleased with that quite hurt part. Okay, then. Tarazi will stride up. And we'll see if it has combat reflexes. He's going to go in to 30 feet. Not quite flanking, but still. We'll get a single swing.
Sadly, you already found the only monster in the whole adventure path that had combat reflexes.
Yeah, that went really well for me. Oh, yeah, that's a critical threat, a 34.
Sounds dangerous.
And a 30 to confirm.
That sounds pretty confirmed.
All right, now, Blade, here comes 2d10 plus 28, then. So 34, is it still alive?
It is not. Even with not all of that going through, it is quite dead in addition to being tired.
Same. All right. Then that'll do it for Snake Squad.
All right, so that'll bring us to Spider Squad as opposed to Snake Squad. The good-humored spider thinks that this is all in great fun. It's going to spit a web at Tarazi, I think. So we are going for a 19 versus touch.
Yeah.
All right, now it doesn't actually give me the rules for how this web works.
It's just cosmetic. Now he looks embarrassingly outfitted.
I'm gonna go ahead and assume that it works like the spell, which means that you need to make a reflex save, I'm gonna say. I've got a save DC, so I'm gonna assume that's right.
Looking at 22.
All right, so you're not tangled in the web. Whew. It's just sticky everywhere. I don't know why anyone would do that, to be honest. Of note, these spiders, other than the dead one, do seem to be healing rather quickly. The dead one, not so much, but the other two. So the good-humored spider, I think, is going to kind of come on down a little bit just to scope out the situation. And then its turn's going to end, and the daring spider is, of course, very daring. And it's going to go... It can't go that far. It can only go this far. But that's still a flankeroo on Tarazi. And then it's going to go for the chomp. Only a 24.
No, sir.
Oh, wait. 26 with the flank. Still not going to do it, I assume.
No.
I don't like it.
That makes one of us.
Well, unbiased Brixby, you are up.
All right, unbiased Brixby, seeing his friend flanked on both sides, is going to level his hands at the daring spider and declare it one of my impromptu sneak attacks for the day and shoot off a series of scorching rays.
Wouldn't dare.
This is verse touch. I'm not going to put the negative 4 on here for going into combat. You can just add 4 to their AC or their touches. This is my 2 hit. Oh, that's not great. So that is a 14 before that adjustment.
They're huge, though. Like,
they are huge.
If we're not in... Like, they're in melee with us, but we're not in melee with them. How does that affect things? It swung at me, but I'm so far away from it.
I think we've established that that doesn't actually matter because, like, you could say, like, someone who's not holding a weapon and isn't threatening And it's kind of the same situation. You're still in hand-to-hand because one party threatens the other in melee. But it doesn't matter because 14 meets beats.
Oh, excellent. Well, with the... Oh, yeah. Excellent. Cool. So that is, for the folks at home, it's a 14, a 17, and an 18. So would you like me to do the fire and the sneak attack separately or just all together?
All together is fine.
Okay. I'm going to do all three rays together if that's fine as well.
Sure.
Let's see what happens.
We're not going to be able to see anything on the screen.
I was going
to
say, is this going to cover the screen in dice?
No, there we go. Oh. All right, 77 points of damage.
Wow. Let's see, that was on the Daring Spider. All right, Daring Spider looks very, very hurt now.
Let's get Tarazi out of that flank.
And the considerate Asuma says, "Of course, sounds like a great idea. How considerate of you." And she's going to take two shots at the Daring Spider. First one will hit, and second one will also hit. I'm doing good math here. We got 13 cold and 12 cold. 25 total damage. It is on death's door at the end of Asuma's turn. And that brings us to the Vayne Alowyn.
Vayne Alowyn... Where is the good-humored one hanging out? I can't see him where I'm standing.
There's a rock between you and him.
Okay. So I guess since the only one I can see is the Daring Spider, I am... I'm gonna waste another Bone Shatter. It's my highest spell level. I think I can do... Let me see if Bone Shaker also says... No, Bone Shaker has to be a skeleton, so that won't work on him. You know what? I think just the thing I can probably do best is I'll still be far enough away that it can't hit me, so I'm just going to take a 10-foot move upwards, and I am going to cast a Cure Mod on Kira, who got bit by a spider earlier. And Mod is 2d8 plus 1 per level. So that is 2d8 plus 10. Where are my d8s? So that is 23 points of healing to Kira, and that will be his turn.
And that brings up the quarrelsome Kira's turn.
Awesome. Kira sees Brix go after the northern guy, right?
Yes. This
great
one to the north, not to the other side.
So Kira's going to charge the eastern spider and try to smack it with a chainsaw.
It's going to slap you on the way in.
Yeah.
Or chomp slap. That is a 29 to chomp slap.
It's a solid chomp slap.
On the blur, that is 85.
Okay.
20 damage on the chomp slap.
20. Okay. And going for the chainsaw hit. That is a 36 to hit.
That is definitely enough.
Oh, 38 with the charge.
Too many now.
I think that hits both of them at that point.
That is almost a double crit in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, which is totally a thing that exists.
Ah, that's great. I love it. Too bad. 11, 22, 33 points of damage on good-humored spider. Ogre spider.
All right. Doesn't all go through. Doesn't really matter when the number big. And that brings us to the snake squad.
Yeah. So it sounded like the daring spider is on death's door. So Levi is going to slither on up and see if can't finish him off. That one might still have an AOL.
Sure does. That's terrible roll, only a 17.
Yeah, no. He will lash out and try and bite it for a 23.
Yeah, 23 hits.
Nice. Max again on the D6, so 19 points of damage.
And that is another snake kill.
Nice.
Yeah. That will enable Tarazi then to kind of run alongside. He'll get over to the northeast. Again, not quite flanking, but that's all right. Still only one swing, though. Here comes the null blade. As a natural two, just move right along.
All right. Well, that brings us up to the good-humored ogre spider's turn, and I feel like its good humor is being tested right now in that it's just lost its friends, and it's kind of surrounded. Luckily, this good-humored ogre spider happens to be mindless thanks to radiation damage, so it doesn't care. It's just going to keep biting. And it knows Kira's pretty easy to bite, so I think it's going to go for her.
It doesn't sweat the small stuff.
Not a natural one. It doesn't care. Like, whatever, you know? Sometimes your brain rots out because of radiation poisoning. Sometimes you can't eat the things that are trying to kill you. That brings us to Brixby.
Brixby's going to delay for a second because it see how his martial teammates can do on this one. Jump in with a spell if needed before its turn.
All right, and Asuma, I don't think, can see the spider, so she is going to wait as well, which brings us to Alowyn.
Alowyn does have line of sight of this spider and has about a zillion of this level one spell that I never use anymore because it doesn't do a super lot of damage, but it works against something that has protection from mind affecting. So go ahead and make me a fort save.
That is a 22.
So that is 5d6. I think I actually have enough to roll that on my own. 3d6. I'm still going to roll it in real life. And then a 2 and a 1. I should have rolled in the thing. So that's 15. So half of that would be 7 points of sonic damage as Alowyn hits it with an ear-piercing scream.
Poor spider. It's just getting yelled at now. Doesn't seem to bother it, though, even though it hurts.
Yeah. And what I love about the description of the spell is basically he just opens his mouth really wide and suddenly the spider takes damage because it specifically says only the thing you're attacking hears it, nothing else does. So it's got to be very weird looking for everybody else.
All right. That'll bring us to Kira's turn.
Cool. Well, the spider didn't move and neither did I, so I'm going to hit it 4 times. Or, you know, try to.
It's too many.
That is same thing as last time, which we said was a 36 on the first one.
That hits.
Ooh, critical threat on the second. Roll to confirm. Sorry, that was a 19 on the die. Oh, and a 1 for the second one. Does not confirm. So just a regular hit on the second one. Don't know if that'll do it. 6. 19 to hit on the third.
19 does not hit.
Okay, and a 25 to hit on the fourth.
Sounds like 3 hits.
It's a lot of twos. It's a lot of twos in there. About 87 points of chainsaw damage.
Actually doesn't die.
Let me
just
wow.
Do some math real quick. Yeah, it's still
it
up.
Just wishes it did.
Yeah, it's a still beefy spider. Up.
It's got so many fewer legs right now as just it's half spider, half chainsaw, but it is still up and it's still chilling. It's just like, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Go with the flow, man.
I'm a spider, man.
No worries, bro.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Spider bites.
And Snake Squad, can you harsh this mellow once and for all?
I think so. I did thankfully put a rank in it and mellow harshing. So let's just swing 3 times with the null blade. All right, missed on the first one, nat 20 on the second, and another critical threat on the third. So I think this mellow is getting harshed. Only a 15, so doesn't confirm on the second one. Or the third one, but still 2 hits. That is 27 points of damage. Dress number finishes him off.
That is the end of the spider. Yeah. The end of
Tiddlesteel.
All of the spiders. And we are out of combat.
Kira immediately looks at Tarazi and is like, I thought your favorite enemy was constructs. Are spiders constructs?
At my level, I have 3 different types of favored enemy. This wasn't any of them, but I do my best.
Oh. Cool.
I'm going to see if I can detect Magoo in this cave.
You don't detect any magic in this main part of the cave, but now that you're a little farther in, you do see that at the back of it, it does loop off to the right. So it appears the cave does continue.
Oh, there's so much more cave. Let's cave this cave.
I hope that was the only 3.
I'll go back to guard duty. You have fun.
So the frontliners, Brixby and Owlway.
I'm exploring the cave. It's
just like holding hands. That's how I envision that they like adventure together. At the
yeah, skipping through the...
Just like the buddy system. We both keep a...
I was asked a math question and it's taken me some time.
Just saying, we trauma bonded in the choking tower. And now we hold hands because we have separation anxiety.
So I wonder, like, what came first? If there were, like, spiders just living in here in, like, a spider utopia, then the mold came along, or these, like, really dumb ogre spiders showed up and they're like, oh, this is great, I love red. And then, like, we're here.
And then they just bathed in the red and slowly became the red. As you come around the corner in this cave into the sort of back end of it, the webs, deteriorated though they may be, kind of thin out, but you do find basically like discarded bones strewn through the back of the cave, like as if this is where they put like what's left of what they've eaten. Just like looking through, you see all sorts of animals of varying sizes. You do see some humanoid looking bones. So it looks like they've gotten some people.
Kind of still continuing my wom 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 back there. But also shuddering at the idea of dying in the spider cave.
And then Alouin charges forward into the darkness alone.
Oh, no. I thought there was somebody in front of me still.
And then charges right back.
I'm also doing math while dragging my token occasionally. I saw more of the tunnel get revealed and thought it was happening because somebody was there, but I think it's just because I changed slightly where I was standing so I could see more of it.
You're just riding down the hallway under Heelys. Like,
just watching as Alouin slowly drifts further and further away from the party, finger hovering over the pause button.
I know. That's what I was waiting for, is the classic Sam pause. Wait, you don't get to go back.
And as you move down.
Well, he's also been canonically healing Kira as I've been rolling off camera, so he can't do that from that far away.
Who canonically had Heelys before when we were in Scrapwall? Was it Kira? Someone had Heelys.
I thought it was Briggs.
We did make a joke about somebody having Heelys.
Was that child?
Pre-disc?
I think that was pre-disc Heelys.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. So as you come down into the back end of this cave, which is basically looped around almost to the outside, but, you know, still inside the cave, you could just tell geographically where you are, and also you can probably see it on the map. Brixby does detect some magic on what appears to be a partially eaten body of a dead android. It looks like the spiders gave it the old college try and then decided that this particular brand of plastics and things wasn't to their liking.
All right. What sort of thing do we see on this android?
Looks like there's something on this body here.
Well, it's easy to tell from the outside that they've got a magic shirt on, a magic armor, basically. They're also wearing a magic amulet. And they got a bag that's radiating a little bit of magic too when you're detecting.
Alouin will take 10 over these various magical items.
Well, the armor is a +2 chain shirt.
Nice. Oh, nice.
not a bad little prize there. The necklace appears to be an amulet of natural armor plus two. Now, taking a closer look at this amulet, it is like an ornately carved insignia showing like two broken high-tech looking rifles on it. Cool. And then if you open up their bag, you do find 60 GP, a couple of non-trivial sized garnets, a longsword that doesn't look like it's magic, and three scrolls, which is one scroll of communal share language, one scroll of holy smite, and one scroll of windwall.
Oh, don't we have that one? I think we have windwall. Right? Or is that like a high level spell? I can't remember.
I feel like
you
there's
definitely
been
have
a
something
windwall
similar
before.
From Furcus.
I feel like
I don't
yeah,
know if it's specifically there. Windwall, but he had something with a very similar name if that wasn't it.
Yeah, 100%.
Just Wonderwall.
Anyway. Here's Wonderwall. That's Windwall. Yeah, we have this spell, I believe. But Holy Smite, I think, is a divine, right? Given the name. Share language communal is cool. Mm-hmm. You run into something odd. And tuck those away. Big stuff. If you had to quantify the fortifications that you possess and the ability to dodge into a number that defined your armor, what would it be? What is your AC?
Thank you. 21.
What armor does Kira have right now?
She has a plus one breastplate.
So is breastplate medium or is that heavy? I'm trying to remember.
They're both medium. The chain
it
shirt.
It is still a medium, yeah. So I wonder if she should switch to the chain shirt then.
I think they give the same AC bonus, a plus two chain shirt and a plus one breastplate.
Oh, because the breastplate
I
is...
I was thinking
yeah.
the Amy. The amulet was what I was thinking for Kira. Because are you wearing an amulet right now?
I have an amulet of natural armor plus one.
Well, we could turn that 21 into a 22. And just hand it on down to... I already wear... That's where my like bonded item is. But I don't know if Alwyn is wearing an amulet.
Yeah, I have a plus one. And I'm assuming Tarazi's probably got one that or something else in that slot. One or
what about
other.
Levi? Can't Levi
can,
wear
can
it?
Can Levi wear it?
Yeah, no, there's like slots for...
Yeah, I think companions can wear a neck slot. Yeah.
Also, he's like 100% neck.
Yeah, he is. You're right. He could be wearing like 40 of those. He already has like an AC canonical. Of 78. So like it is going to be... I love Tank Snake.
I mean...
Yeah, companions can wear barding and neck slot are the two that all companions can wear.
Yay! Look
sick.
Them
yeah,
the
he has barding already, but he does not have a neck slot item right now.
Now, does he have natural armor as a snake?
It stacks. It'll stack.
Yeah, it stacks.
Oh, does
yeah,
it stack?
It's an enhancement bonus to your natural armor.
Oh,
it
nice.
Looks like the slots a serpentine animal companion has are belt, eyes, and headband, in addition to the ones that all of them have.
Nice. Yeah, my god, the V mods.
I was gonna say, can we put the V mods on him? I don't know how that works when his head is like the size of Brixby, but
eyes, headband, neck slot, note to self, this guy. I just want to give Levi like a hat of disguise. No. Just walk around and be like, I'm just a person.
Belt.
Just a little guy.
The idea of him wearing a belt. Where do you even put a belt on a snake? Where is their waist?
Same place that we're putting a necklace. I mean, it's all torso.
I mean, it's all
well,
waist.
I mean the necklace at least
neck.
Is like right after the end of the head.
Yeah, the neck is just the waist of your head, man.
It's beautiful. That's an Italian
title.
Right there.
Yes, it's poetry. Really.
The neck is the waist of the body.
Well, we didn't exactly find much, but this is somewhat useful, and good job, everybody. That was some good spider killing.
Kira produces stickers that says, good spider killing everyone. And Tarazi and Levi both get one.
Oh, thank you.
Shall we continue down the caves, or are people feeling like they want to move quicker near the river? I feel like this is probably the course we should be taking, but wanted to open it up in case anyone was feeling like a little beach day.
I like exploring the caves. It's been pretty cool up until the giant spider's part.
That is true. It has been pretty cool. It's like looks around at the like nuclear mold that we're all just breathing in. Yeah. With our like gas masks on, it's so dystopic at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Do we see any specific source of like I don't see on the map like we did in some of the other areas, like an actual like pool of radiation or anything anywhere?
No, it just seems to be like permeating the ground in this place.
Okay.
Because it's not a nice valley to live in general.
Yeah. Why do people live here?
Well, very few people seem to.
In low cost of living. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, really no property tax. Where else in Numeria?
Absolutely. The HOA here is relatively lax about the stealing of brains.
Yeah, I mean, the good-natured spider was actually president of the HOA. And he just sort of let everything slide.
Oh, no.
Well, you already said mold ate his brain, so he couldn't do anything.
Yeah, you know, that happens sometimes. But I think as the party heads back out of this cave and you resume your search, heading further and further on into the day and further on into the valley, I'm going to bed.
Night, Sam.
Night, Sam.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, irradiated Sam.
Good night, horrible giant spiders.
Against the machine.
Against the Machine is property of Network Against the Machine, LLC, all rights reserved. Pathfinder and the Iron Gods Adventure Path are property of Paizo Publishing. See their website for more details. Theme Against the Machine was written and performed by our own Zach. See the show notes for additional music and sound licensing. If you enjoy the show, we encourage you to leave us a review.
French waveforms. The angriest waveforms.
Waveforms.
De français.
Parlez-vous
baguette.
Anglais. Parlez-vous anglais.
Le Craig. Bonjour.
Okay, here's this. Here's
Bonsoir, it's evening.
Jean Cousteau. Foudoufafa.
Headed out. Vizuma.
Edit in the right one, please.
Why won't it let me do that? Oh, because everyone's highlighted. And why won't she move? Oh, because I'm on the ruler. I know how to use Foundry.
I don't know what those things that I just put on the map are. Can you see those?
Yeah, you got squares.
Cool. Yeah. And one of them's crooked and it's bothering me. And I feel like these guys are pretty fortuitous. Or fortitudinous.
Fortitudinous.
I don't know what the correct one would be.
One pair of Heelys, barely used. It's the saddest story.
I feel like we used that last week, didn't we?
Oh, we did. Oh, man. I'm cut it out. We only get one of those references at Pod.
It's okay. No one remembers.
No one listens to two episodes in a row.
No one's listening to us. It's just Spiro Agnew out there.